Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Holy Herbs. This is going to be a very interesting class about the Seder night, and specifically about the foods that we are enjoined by God and His Torah to eat. You know, there's this silly adage. It defines every Jewish holiday. They try to kill us. We survived. Now let's eat. It's kind of ridiculous. But then again, not entirely so, because just about every holiday on the Jewish calendar has a meal attached to it. Even the festival of Hanukkah, which doesn't have a formal Seudat Hanukkah, nonetheless, customarily, Hanukkah latke evenings are held, and there are even customary foods, like potato pancakes or donuts. Truth be told, though, all of the traditional foods eaten around holiday times aren't actually a mitzvah. I'm not trying to diss Jewish tradition. Our sages tell us, Minhag Yisrael Torahi. So sure, it's important to eat donuts on Hanukkah and Hamantashen on Purim. There is value and merit to eating cheese blintzes or the like on Shavuot and dipping your apple in honey. Yet, there isn't a specific commandment or mitzvah. That is to say, it's not really obligatory. And that means if somebody doesn't like to eat this kind of food, but doesn't enjoy it, don't eat it. It also means that if somebody nibbles at his or her food and doesn't eat a very large amount of it, that's just fine. Passover is the big exception. On Pesach, during the course of a week in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael, Israel, and outside of Israel for 8 days, we're not permitted to eat any chametz, any leaven. Leaven is a basic ingredient in just about everybody's diet. Everything from bread, pasta, cookies or egg rolls to whiskey and beer is made of chametz. And just about all foods today have chametz additives. You'd be surprised. Most alcohols are even chametz. And I'm talking about things that are added into food preparation and food development. On Pesach, a Jew forswears any kind of consumption that's related to chametz. The question is, does the Torah require us to eat something, or is that just traditional? Well, in temple times, when we had the Beit HaMikdash, the big focus of the holiday of Pesach was the Korban Pesach, the Paschal offering. We talked about that in the previous episode. It was an enormous focus of observing the holiday. In fact, it's predicated on the big mitzvah we performed before we left the land of Egypt. It was a profound act of defiance to take the proverbial god of the Egyptians, the animal they worshipped, to slaughter it and to dash its blood on the lintels and the doorposts and wait for the message. On the first anniversary of the celebration of Pesach, we had a Korban Pesach. It was a big deal. However, to our chagrin and shame, for the next 39 years, during our long delay in the desert, there were no Korbanot Pesach. The next big Pesach was when we came to the land of Israel. We crossed the river, the Jordan, on the 10th day of Nisan, establishing ourselves in our homeland for eternity on Yud Aleph Nisan, the 11th day of Nisan. And a short 3 days later, the Jewish people joyously observed the holiday of Pesach with the Korban Pesach. At that time, there were many people who hadn't circumcised their children, didn't do Brit Milah, because they were afraid. People were traveling. When people are afraid of their health or the health of their children, you really can't say much. Not different than the fears many people have today. And so there was this enormous celebration, a profound act of religious renewal and a national reclamation of the things that were near and dear to us as Hashem's special children. And every year subsequent, the Jewish people would come to the Beit HaMikdash, or in the earlier centuries, the Mishkan, wherever the temple might be. It was in Shiloh. The world calls that the West Bank today. How ridiculous. For 369 years, that was our ground zero of Jewish spirituality. And then, by ordination of the Almighty, through his prophets, we set our sights on Yerushalayim, and it became sanctified forever. And every year, the Jewish people would come from far and wide and celebrate Passover, Pesach, with the Korban Pesach. And along with the Korban Pesach, matzah was eaten and bitter herbs, maror. The story of the Exodus was told to our children, and our sages ordain that four cups of wine accompany the Seder proceedings. The question we'll deal with tonight is, without a doubt, the holiday of Pesach's don'ts haven't changed. You certainly can't eat chametz. That has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, Israel, Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, or Beit HaMikdash, Holy Temple. Kol machmetz et lo tochelu. Don't eat chametz. It's very simple. A Jew forswears any kind of such consumption for the duration of the Passover holiday. The question, though, is, what does our Seder actually look like today? Is it merely a rabbinic reenactment of biblical mitzvot once performed when things were as they were supposed to be? Or is some of what we do in today's day and age, sans the Paschal offering, minus the Korban Pesach, still a fulfillment of a biblical mitzvah? Well, that's the subject of the Gemara we're about to learn. Masechet Pesachim, we are now on page 120, Daf Kuf Chof, Amud Aleph, and we're smack in the middle, just where we left off in our previous episode. And I see we have a couple of comments here. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Amelita is asking, what do you think the future salvation will be in Nisan or Tishrei? Amelita, I don't know. I'm not a prophet, but I do hope and yearn and await the coming of Mashiach every single day. Every single day. It's not enough to say, well, I hope Mashiach will come in Tishrei, meaning the holiday of Pesach, or I hope Mashiach will come, in September or Tishrei, or I hope it comes in the spring. Of course, it seems to us that when we approach the month of Nisan, and this is the month of redemption, and we speak about the Exodus the first time, which is directly linked to the redemption through Mashiach, that this would be a great time for Mashiach to come. I certainly hope he's coming now. But we don't know when Mashiach will come. Until he comes, we won't know. So I hope that answers your question. If anybody has questions that are related to the Gemara, please put them on to the live chat on YouTube. If you're watching on Facebook, please switch to YouTube. I don't look at the Facebook streaming during my teaching. And I want to remind all of you watching on Facebook or YouTube that I'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe to the channel. We got to build this, youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. If you're already subscribed, thank you. Please reach out to your friends, reach out to your family, and let's continue to spread a message of Yiddishkeit literacy, Torah education, and the message and meaning of everything we hold dear to everybody, so that the world can be a wash of Torah knowledge. That will bring Mashiach faster. So, with all of the things I already said as a preface, the Gemara is now going to analyze two things eaten on the night of Pesach, two foods. The Korban Pesach conversation is finished for now. That was last week's, the previous episode. Now we focus on matzah and maror, those unleavened wafer breads or crackers and the bitter herbs. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Rava taught, matzah, bizman hazeh de oiraisa. The consumption of matzah in today's day and age. Now, what does that mean when we say today's day and age? The 21st century? Are people still eating that? No, that's not the point. Of course we're still eating here. We do everything. We continue to do everything we're supposed to do to the best of our ability. The vicissitudes of time have nothing on the Torah truth. So what does Bizman Hazeh mean? Well, Bizman Hazeh means in our exilic times, meaning when we don't have the paschal offering. So when there's no beef, is there also no bread? That's the question. Rava says, in the time like now, which we hope is going to change very soon, when the Beit HaMikdash and Korbanot are not a part of our actual, tangible reality, is it a mitzvah to eat matzah? Says Rava, absolutely yes. Midoiraisa is the Talmudic way of saying it's biblically ordained. It's an absolute requirement for every Jewish man and woman. And let me tell you something. As we will see shortly in the verses, it's got to be Be'erev. If you hold a Seder at like 6 o'clock in the evening, you may as well have a Seder on Hanukkah. It's absolutely worthless. It's pointless. It's meaningless. The mitzvot of Passover cannot be performed before it's dark. So you've got to wait for halachic nightfall. And then you can fulfill the mitzvahs of Pesach. Because if you're a half hour early or a half a year early, it's before its time. And before its time is meaningless. Rava says, it's not only traditional, appropriate, sweet, quaint, or rabbinically ordained, it's biblical. However, he says, those bitter or holy herbs, the maror, those are eaten, derabbanon, by virtue of rabbinic ordination. The Gemara now asks the big question. So why is it that there's a distinction drawn between matzah and maror? I mean, they're both ordained in the Bible. Both are identified in the Chumash, in the scripture itself. And yet, because they're identified alongside the paschal offering, and because we don't have a paschal offering today, we come to the conclusion that, hey, it doesn't really apply. It's got to be a rabbinic mitzvah. Not so, said Rava. Matzah is biblical, maror is rabbinic. The Gemara asks, Mishnah, what's the difference? Both of these items are fingered and identified in the scripture itself. And the Gemara responds and tells us, maror, the reason that maror is different is dichsiv, for it is written in the scripture, al matzot umarorim, you have to eat it on matzah and on maror. Eat what? It. Well, the Korban Pesach. So the paschal offering is supposed to be eaten alongside matzah and maror. And the Gemara says, bizman de'ika Pesach, at a time when we have the offering, the meat of the Korban Pesach, yesh maror. So then there's maror, because the maror, the bitter or holy herbs, come along with a holy offering. The holiness of the offering is accompanied by the herbs. Bizman de leka Pesach, at a time where we don't have Pesach, well, leka maror. Then there's no obligation to eat bitter herbs either. Now, I want to point out to you that when we say this idea of it's obligatory, something we need to do, we're actually talking about on the first night of Pesach, not the duration of the holiday. And we'll talk about that later on in today's class. To quote Rashbam, the commentary of Rashi's grandson printed alongside the Talmud, right together with Rashi, accompanying Rashi, is Matzah Bizman Hazeh D'Oraisa, says Rashbam, Laila Harishona Chova. The first night is obligatory. Now, outside of Israel, we have a Seder on both nights of Pesach, the first and the second. Rashbam lived in France, so did he. But that can't be biblical, because biblically, the first day of Pesach is a holiday that we are enjoined in the scripture to follow. The second night of Pesach, everything's rabbinic. So this whole conversation, whilst taking place in Babylon, where they, like we in Canada, had two nights of Seder and observances, nonetheless, the discussion was about the first night. Do we do this mitzvah because Torah ordains it? Or is it a tradition that the rabbis enacted for whatever variety of reasons? And we'll talk about that soon. So the Gemara says, well, the maror is eaten alongside the Korban Pesach. No Korban Pesach, no maror. No meat, no herbs. Gemara says, one second here. Rava said matzah, biblical. Maror, rabbinic. Why? It's in the scripture. Because it's in the scripture accompanying the korban, the meat of the offering. And that's why in today's day and age, when there is no meat of an offering, there is no bitter herbs. So the Gemara says, one second, I don't understand. That same verse that says maror is eaten, bitter herbs with matzah, with korban, with meat, the same verse says, al matzot umirorim. Haksiv al matzot umirorim, says the Gemara. The Gemara, it says it on matzah and maror. In that case, no korban, no matzah. Or at least there shouldn't be. So the Gemara responds and says, good question. Simple distinction. Matzah mihadar hoder be'kro. When it comes to matzah, the Torah singled matzah out in a separate verse. The Torah speaks about matzah in addition to its conversation about the Korban Pesach. Where's that? Well, in a number of places. But our Gemara quotes a verse, Be'erev tochlu matzot. These exact or precise words are actually to be found in the discussion of the second Passover, and that's a discussion we'll have a little bit later. But at any rate, that's not the point. The point isn't if it's first Passover or second Passover. The point is, it says you eat matzah. And there's no mention of korban whatsoever. There's no mention of moror independent of korban, of offering, but there is a mention of matzah on its own. And as such, the Gemara says, because there's a mention of matzah on its own, we understand that whether there is or isn't a korban, matzah must always be eaten. That's the simple, so to speak, statement the Gemara makes. I want to help to clarify this a little bit. So why do we actually eat maror? What is the point of eating the maror? And one of the things I want to talk about with you is the sandwich. Why do we eat that maror or holy herbs wrapped or sandwiched with holy wafers? One is biblical, one is rabbinic. Why are we mixing the two? But before we go to that, I want to share with you the words of the great Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon HaSfardi, the Rambam, in the Book of Mitzvahs. The Rambam in the Book of Mitzvahs discusses, at some length, this business of moror and matzah as being merely incidentals to a bigger picture. part of a Korban Pesach rather than having prominence on their own. Listen carefully to the words of Rambam. He says that the 56th positive mitzvah in the Torah is to eat the sheep, the meat of the Korban Pesach, on the night of the 15th. And he says it must be done kifi tna'ov hanizkarim. It's got to be done under very specific, controlled circumstances. No, you can't eat the meat as you please, whenever you please, however you please. There's a specific way to fulfill this mitzvah. Number one, the Torah gives us the cooking instructions. Sheyehe tzoli. It's got to be roasted. Number two, sheyeochel bebayit echad, that it's eaten in a common home. We talked about in our previous episode. Number three, sheyeochel im matzah umoror, that it must be eaten with matzah and moror together. And we know this because the scripture in Exodus chapter 12, verse 8, reads as follows. Ve'ochlu es habosor, you'll eat the meat. Balayla hazeh, on this night. Tzli esh, roasted by fire. Umatzot al merorim, and with wafers, or matzah, and bitter herbs. Holy crackers, holy herbs. Yochlu hu, you'll eat it. And now, the Rambam is going to read your mind, and he says, I know just what you're thinking. I'm going to anticipate the question on your lips. You're going to say, Madua atam mone achilas matzah, Pesach matzah marak mitzvah achas. These are three different items. Why are we saying this is one mitzvah? Mitzvah 56, eat the korban Pesach, eat the matzah, eat the maror. Hey, those are three mitzvahs, three different items. On our Seder plate, they take up different spaces. Why is that one mitzvah? Ve'incha moneh otan kishalosh. Why wouldn't you enumerate that as three mitzvahs? Meat of a korban Pesach, wafer of the matzah, and the bitter herbs. Matzah, Pesach, matzah, maror. I mean, these are the three big focuses of the eve of Pesach. We've talked about this in many a previous lecture, many a previous episode, that there's three things that comprise the essence of Pesach. Pesach, matzah, maror. Should be three mitzvahs. So Rambam says, the reason is because the fact that matzah is identified as a mitzvah unto itself is because the Torah identifies it elsewhere as a mitzvah unto itself. Be'erev tochlu matzos. Aval hamaror, but the bitter, holy herbs eaten on the night of Pesach. Harehu tofel la'achilas ha-Pesach. It's just it plays a supporting role. You know, it's like the relish on the hot dog isn't the sandwich. The sandwich is the hot dog. The bun. The relish is a condiment. It isn't the thing itself. And because it's just an additive rather than a central feature, it's a tefillah la'achilas ha-Pesach. So the Rambam says, ein limnoto mitzvah v'ne'atzmo, it shouldn't be considered or enumerated as a mitzvah unto itself. The Rambam says this is exactly why the Torah chose that verbiage. Al matzot umerorim yochluhu. You eat it on matzah and maror. What do you eat? It. What's it? It is the meat. Here's a lousy example, but you get a main dish, a main course. So, you know, you're having a piece of meat, piece of steak, you're having a piece of fish, you're having a piece of chicken, a piece of schnitzel, you know, whatever it is. And then they ask you, what are your sides? You want the steamed vegetables, you want a salad, you want French fries. What do you want? What's your side? It's called a side. What's the entree? You say, look at my main dish. My main dish is French fries, and my main dish is steamed vegetables. No, that's not your main dish. Your main dish is your steak or your piece of fish, your chicken or your duck. That's your main dish. And the main dish has things it's served with. The main dish is the Korban Pesach. That's the focus. The things that are served on the side, like maror, don't comprise a mitzvah unto themselves. And therefore the Rambam says, V'ilu ochal maror b'lo basar. What if a person would sit down and have a helping of holy herbs on the night of Pesach? Just maror. Lo asa klum. He did absolutely nothing. Zero, zilch, not a sphere. Nothing. I know what you're thinking. Hey, what are you talking about? We do this. We eat maror at a Pesach Seder. Of course we do, rabbinically. The rabbis ordained we do that. The Torah doesn't. The scripture tells us clearly, you eat meat. That's the main dish tonight. Here's your sides. V'lo nomar, we will not say that somebody who has eaten maror, bitter herbs, shekia mitzvah achat, that he fulfilled a mitzvah. We won't say it, ah, he did the mitzvah of achilat maror. So there's the mitzvah and there's the incidentals. Maror is merely an incidental. It is not the thrust of the mitzvah itself. And as such, what happens, Rambam says, im ein lahem matzah u'morer, if you don't have matzah and morer, just imagine that, but you do have a korban Pesach, you still fulfill the mitzvah. Suppose the restaurant, you're eating it, has the meat or the fish. They don't have any sides tonight. Sorry, we're out of potatoes. No steamed vegetables available. They all got eaten. You don't say, well, in that case, I won't have dinner. Say, well, I'll have the main course or the main dish without the side dishes. It's still called a dinner. Still nice. So why are they eaten along with the Korban Pesach? Here, Rambam gives us another very interesting insight. He says that the Korban Pesach in and of itself is not supposed to satiate us. We should have some carbohydrate, some bread, unleavened wafer, some matzah. We should have some bitter, those holy herbs are like the salad. We should have those. So in that way, we can eat, feel sated, and then we eat the Korban Pesach out of delight rather than hunger or necessity. But he says, nonetheless, Iker HaMitzvah Achilat HaBasar. That's the main mitzvah. Maror Mitfele Besar Pesach V'Chovotav. And this is why our Gemara says that the matzah in today's day and age is only rabbinic. Because Min HaTorah, there's no obligation to eat maror altogether. There's an obligation to eat maror with a Korban Pesach, or a Korban Pesach along with maror, but not bitter herbs in and of themselves. And the Rambam says this makes it abundantly obvious, shehu mitfele hamitzvah, that it is only an incidental rather than occupying a main place or a central role. Its consumption is not a mitzvah in and of itself. Now, I want to add something, just like a little food for thought here. We have a mitzvah on Sukkot to take four kinds, a palm branch, a citron, myrtle leaves, and the leaves of the willow. And we take them together. What happens if you have an etrog, but you don't have a lulav branch? What happens if you have the etrog and the lulav branch, but you're missing the myrtles or the willows, or you have citron, etrog branch, you have myrtles, you have branch, but you have no willows? What happens? The answer is, you have nothing. The mitzvah isn't to take etrog, one mitzvah, lulav, another mitzvah. The mitzvah is to take four kinds together. Which is overriding? Actually, none. Truth be told, none is more important than the other, even if we euphemistically say it's called making a bracha on the lulav, because that's the language of the bracha. Insofar as the mitzvah is concerned, missing any one of those four kinds means you're missing the mitzvah. Whereas when we talk about the eating of the Korban Pesach, the Rambam was very specific. There isn't a mitzvah to eat three things. Mitzvah 56 is, in the Rambam's own words, Hatzivu shenitzdavinu the command to be given by God in His Torah, the instructions, Lechol keves ha-Pesach. The mitzvah is to eat the Paschal Lamb. Now, this mitzvah of eating the Paschal Lamb has some conditions that come along with it. Now, in that case, you may ask me the question, then for heaven's sake, why are we eating bitter herbs onto themselves? Clearly, matzah has got importance in and of itself. The scripture says so. Be'erev tochlu matzos. No mention of a Korban Pesach. So, there's a mitzvah to eat Korban Pesach, the Paschal offering. And along with Paschal offering, you should be eating matzah and maror. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah. There's no mitzvah to eat maror. Well, if there's no mitzvah to eat maror, then whose idea was this and why are we eating bitter herbs? Who decided that should be holy? That's a good question. So here's a fascinating piece of insight. The Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the author of the Tanya and the Shulchan Aruch, the founder of the Chabad movement, in Shulchan Aruch says something very interesting which I haven't found anywhere else. He says, in chapter 475 of the Code of Jewish Law, Orach Chaim, the daily life laws, he says the mitzvah of Moror min HaTorah, the commandment, the instruction of bitter herbs, min HaTorah, biblically, they're only at the time Shehapesach Nechal. That's only when you have a Paschal offering. Only when there's meat to eat. Because the Torah says, Al matzah somrurim yo'ok luhu. Eat it with matzah and with maror. Avo b'zman hazeh, but in today's day and age, eino elo medivrei sofrim, it's only rabbinic. And here, the Alter Rebbe says something phenomenal. Shetiknu zecher lemigdash. This was established as a memorial for the Beit HaMikdash. It's a Migdash memorial. We're doing something to remember how things were at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, because without a Paschal offering, there'd be no bitter herbs. And here we are, tragically, more than 1950 years after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. If we hadn't been eating bitter herbs at our Seder nights, nobody would know what bitter herbs are. There would be some holy herbs. Nobody would say, well, what are these holy herbs? I don't know. Nobody has seen them in that many years. It's a long time. It's very hard to remember what happened 1,950 years earlier. But that's what the sages didn't want us to forget. Because the Maror actually is an important part of the Seder, and its themes are profound and meaningful. So our sages ordained that it be eaten as a zecher lemigdash. There are various things we do that are zecher lemigdash, to remember the Beit HaMikdash, customs and mitzvahs, rabbinic mitzvahs. What about matzah? But the Alter Rebbe says, Avachiyav achilas matzah b'layla harishon, eating matzah on the first night, even in today's day and age when we are sans Passover offering, humina Torah. That's biblical, because it says, be'erev tochlu matzot, in the evening, that's at night, you eat matzah. No mention of the Paschal offering. Nothing about meat in that verse. So it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, regardless. The Pesach, the korban, the meat, should be eaten with matzah. But there's another mitzvah just to eat matzah. So matzah comes as a side to the main dish of the korban Pesach, so that it isn't eaten on an empty stomach, but matzah is eaten in and of itself, biblically. That's the opinion of Rava, and that is going to be the halacha. So what's up with that sandwich? Well, this isn't really the subject of today's Gemara, but I thought I'd share this because we're talking about I mean, there's issues. And you'll see that they're very much connected, these issues, whether it's biblical or rabbinic, has a lot to do with the way we eat the matzah and the maror and the sandwich. So this was what I read to you was from subsection 15. Now in subsection or section 17 of chapter 275, the Alter Rebbe says this. Ba'af bizman hazeh, and even in today's day and age, shemaror eino elo midivrei sofrim, that maror is only rabbinic. Matzah min ha-Torah, but eating matzah, that's biblical. Says the Alter Rebbe, im korchon biyachad, if you'd sandwich them in modern language, va'acholon, you'd eat the bitter herbs with the matzah, you wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, even according to Hillel, who said, you gotta eat a sandwich. Why? Simple. Because the fact that matzah and moror, wafer and bitter herb, have a different persona attached to them. One is a biblical mitzvah, and one is a rabbinic mitzvah. Then the moror is mevatel tama matzah. You have a rabbinic mitzvah overriding a biblical mitzvah. They don't mix. It's really important for me to point out, when we say that the moror is taking away the taste of the matzah, it's not about the physical material taste only. The problem is you're getting overshadowed by a rabbinic mitzvah. So you're tasting holy herbs, but they're only holy rabbinically. And the matzah, it's a holy wafer biblically. And holy wafers that are biblical, they cannot, so to speak, take the place. Oh, wow. And the computer just shut down. So, if anybody's watching and you have my cell phone, can you let me know if we're still live? This has never happened to me. Wow. The computer is dead as a doornail. I'm still live, Michael David. Okay, amazing. So you can hear me and see me and everything's great? All right. Can you see the chat? Are you able to see the YouTube chat? So here's what we're going to do, Michael David. Since the computer, the laptop just died on me, if anybody has a question, please post it on the live chat. And then Michael David is going to send me a text message or a WhatsApp message, and I'll look at the WhatsApp because I can't see the computer anymore. So the thing is that because the taste of one holy herbs comes from a rabbinic background, and because one comes from a biblical background, one would cancel the other. That's no good. So therefore, we have to eat the matzah on its own. Nonetheless, Hillel, who says you have to eat it as a sandwich, the same Hillel will also tell you that it is necessary for a person to eat matzah on its own. But then Hillel would say, if you want to do the rabbinic mitzvah of moror, then it's got to be Zecher LeMikdash, in the image of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the maror was never eaten alone. It was eaten with the Korban Pesach. Well, we don't have a Korban Pesach. True, but it was sandwiched with matzah. So as such, Hillel would say, and Hillel, of course, lived in the time of the Beis, you know, we can still see a Beis HaMikdash, so we don't know what Hillel would do in today's day and age. But if Hillel was living in exilic times, we would believe that Hillel would say, hey, the moror should be in the image of Beit HaMikdash moror. Sandwich it with matzah. Because of this, the Alter Rebbe says, when you make a bracha on matzah, obviously you're going to be eating the matzah in and of itself. And then when you make a bracha on the moror, well, a lot of opinions say the moror is eaten on its own rabbinically. However, you shouldn't be making any idle conversations in between. Tell me why. Because the bracha, the blessing of the matzah, will actually carry into the sandwich as will the blessing of the maror. Why will the blessing of the matzah carry on to the sandwich? So the Rebbe in the Haggadah says something fascinating. Once you understand this, you will realize that according to Hillel, there are not one, but two rabbinic mitzvahs. There's a biblical mitzvah to eat matzah in and of itself. And then there's another rabbinic mitzvah of matzah. That's the matzah which is in memory of the Beit HaMikdash, the matzah that used to be eaten together with Moror and Korban Pesach. We don't have a Korban, we don't have the offering anymore. So the Moror will be eaten with the matzah. And both, according to Hillel, would be a rabbinic mitzvah. So now you have a little background and you understand how this works. And now the Gemara is going to tell us not everybody holds like Rava. And we're going to have a fascinating little discussion about what else that verse might mean. But in the end, the Gemara will circle around and tell us, yeah, but the halacha is like Rava. But in order to give you the full background, let me continue to share with you the words of the Gemara. V'Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, Echad zeh v'echad zeh, both Moror and matzah in today's day and age are only dirabbanan. They're only biblical. And that's because even though there's a verse that's speaking about matzah and it doesn't seem to be telling us anything about the Korban Pesach, it's not really divorced from the Korban Pesach. Why? Hold that thought. The Gemara asked this exact question. How could you say that the holy herbs and the holy wafers, both are rabbinic? Here there's a verse that says, Be'erev teichlu matzos. So the Gemara asks, how could Rav Acha bar Yaakov say that Haksiv Be'erev teichlu matzos? Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, that verse, Miboyele, that verse is needed. Needed for the Beis HaMikdash times. It's needed lutame, for a person who is in a state of ritual impurity and as such prevented from participating in the Paschal offering. Ushahaya baderech rechoika. This fellow got up, put his things together. He hopped on his camel or donkey and he began to go as quickly as he could. But you know what? A lot of mishaps occurred along the way. And he did his best, but he didn't make it on time. He showed up in Jerusalem like 3 days late. It wasn't his fault. He ended up spending Pesach in Tel Aviv. Not because he wanted to. You know, he was coming from far away. He didn't know there was going to be a monsoon when he would come across on a ship. He didn't know he was going to accompany some sandstorms. Whatever. Stuff happened. So he's Bederech Rechaika. So let's say he's Bederech Rechaika. Beit HaMikdash is standing. He doesn't get to bring a Korban Pesach. Is he eating matzah tonight? Or why would you eat matzah? Matzah comes along with the meat of the Korban Pesach. The Salka Daita Chamina says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, I would have thought, Kivan the Pesach le'ochli, matzah morer, nami le'nechol, since a person isn't eating Korban Pesach, he also shouldn't be eating matzah and morer. I would have thought that. Kamash Malon, this verse teaches me, no, you may not be eating the Korban Pesach for whatever reason, you still have to eat the matzah and the maror. So what's Rava going to say? That's pretty impressive. That seems to make a lot of sense. So Rava tells you, Tomei ushahaya baderech rechayka, these people, leitzarechkra, I didn't need to have another verse to tell me that. I know that. They're not worse than a person who was uncircumcised. Let's say his brothers were hemophiliac. And hemophilia comes from the mother. So we're afraid to make a wound. His brother died from a brit milah. We can't give this kid a brit milah. Or he's a ben nechar, a Jew who has estranged himself to the God of the Jewish people. And as such, the Tanya, we have learned in a braisa, kol orol, boy, the Torah says, that's uncircumcised fellow. He can't have any Korban Pesach. Boy, eino ochel. He can't eat the meat. Aval ochel matzah omer. He can eat the matzah omer. So say we're in Jerusalem. Say there's a Korban Pesach. Here's a fellow who's uncircumcised. It's not his fault. He's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Can he have matzah? Of course he can have matzah. Should he? Of course he should have matzah. Why shouldn't he? So the Gemara says, that makes sense. Of course he should have matzah. Of course he should have mora. What's the question? The idoch. So what would Rav Acha bar Yaakov say? Why did he need the other verse? And the Gemara responds, Ksiv Bahai uksiv Bahai. It says it about both these groups of people. The person who was ritually impure or in a distant way, or the person who had estranged himself to the God of Israel by embracing a foreign faith, or the person who's uncircumcised. Why do you need two verses? So the answer, which as Rashbam explains, is very simple. Because there are different kinds of people. The person who's uncircumcised isn't far away. He's right there. He just technically can't eat from the Korban Pesach. The person who has estranged himself to God might even have already done teshuvah. He might have returned to become part of the Jewish people. The problem was that when the Korban was being brought, he wasn't ready to eat the Korban. So both of these people are actually eminently capable, but technically prevented. Whereas the people who are in a distant way are tameh, they are prevented by a circumstance beyond their control, and they have an opportunity to eat the Pesach Sheni, the second Paschal offering. The uncircumcised fellow and the one estranged will not have that opportunity. And as such, the two groups are actually different. So who's right? The Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rava. We learned along the lines of Rava. And we can see that the halacha is ruled like Rava. Rava is a rabbi from the time of the Gemara, the Talmud. How could we prove that the halacha, that the ruling errs on Rava's side, if Rav Acha bar Yaakov is eminently able to argue? The answer is, we take it up a level. If we can find a Mishnah, which is a genre of teaching from a previously established axiom, or we can find it in a Braisa, which is a codicil of the Mishnah, well, then we know this is the halacha. Rav Acha bar Yaakov has a Torah thought. It's valid, but not halachically correct. And so, the Gemara tells us, Sheshes Yomim, this is what the Braisa says. Tanya Kavasei D'Rav, we learn the Braisa, which is exactly like along the lines of Rav. Sheshes Yomim Teichol Matzos. The Torah says, for 6 days you eat matzah. Ubayom Hashvi'i, and on the seventh day, Atzeret L'Hashem Elokecha. That is a day which is set aside, a day of restraint for Hashem, your God, a Yom Tov. We restrain ourselves from going to work and engaging in ordinary creative activities. So the Gemara comes along and says, aha, ma shvi'i reshut, just as the seventh day is, so to speak, you can eat matzah if you want, but the Torah never said you have to eat matzah. Af sheshet yamim reshut, the 6 days in which the Torah said, tocha matzot, is all an elective. Rashi says, imrotze yochol lechol, if he wants to eat, can have meat. Go on the Atkins diet. Who says he has to eat matzah? My timer, what's the reason for this? So here, the Gemara introduces us to one of the Shleishas Emidis Shateirin Dreshes Bem, the eighth of the hermeneutical principles, as they are called, is this. Dovor Shahoyo Bichlol, something that was included in a broad, pluralistic statement. The Yotza Min HaKlol, and then it was taken out of the statement. So Lilmod, to teach us something, the rule is, Lo Lelamed Al Atzma Yotza. It doesn't only serve to give us instruction about the detail that was taken out of circulation, but rather lelamed ala klal kulo. So let's say you have, on these 7 days, you must do A, B, and C. Then we say, well, on day 7, you don't actually have to do A, B, and C. You can do A, B, and C. And say, well, if day 7 isn't obligatory, then when you said 7 days you do this, and then you said the 7th day isn't obligatory, first it was included, then it was taken out. It's not accepting the 7th day on itself, which would mean instructing with regard to itself, but rather it becomes reflective of the bigger picture. So here we talked about eating matzah for 7 days. Then it says we eat matzah for 6 days, and the 7th, it's a day of restraint. You don't have to eat matzah on the 7th. Aha! If you don't have to eat matzah on the 7th, then you don't actually have to eat matzah on the other 6 either. Well, in that case, you might think you don't have to eat matzah at all. Says the Gemara, Yochel af Laila HaRishon. Maybe the first night is also an elective. Rishut, Talmud Lomar, no, no. The first night's obligatory. Al Matzot Umarorim Yochlu. Gotta eat it with the Korban Pesach. How we know the Korban Pesach is obligatory? The Gemara says, aha, eat it with a Korban Pesach. Ein li'ela b'zman shabeis HaMikdash kayem. Then this would only be instructive insofar as the Beit HaMikdash is concerned. What about today's day and age when there is no Beit HaMikdash? The Gemara comes along and says, Talmud Loimar. The verse has a message for you. Ba'erev tochlu matzot. Matzot will be eaten in the evening. Doesn't say anything about meat. No mention of a korban. And as such, hakosov kva'uhu chova. So the verse has established it with a sense of permanence as obligatory. Now there's a lot to say about this piece of Gemara. That's the truth. But what we can glean from this on a very simple level is 2 things. Number 1, on the night of Pesach, the night, it's absolutely essential biblically that we eat matzah. The maror, it's a rabbinic mitzvah, and it may come in the form of a sandwich or on its own. The matzah is absolutely obligatory. That's the halacha. On the other days of Pesach, it's not mandatory. But, according to many opinions, a mitzvah is fulfilled when we eat matzah on each day of Pesach. And from a mystical perspective, the matzah eaten after the first night takes you even higher. And that's a little bit about matzah and morar in today's day and age. As we learn and study these words, we hope and we yearn that Be'ezrat Hashem this year will be fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah as we've always done it biblically, but that this year, Me'ez Hashem, will also be fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah and moror alongside the Korban Pesach that'll be brought in the 3rd and eternal Beis HaMikdash. Thank you so much for joining. Have a beautiful evening, and I look forward to continuing to study Torah together with you. Laila Tov, have a beautiful night. Thank you.